Today's recording is l'schus in honor of Asia and Evan Cohen and their new addition to the family, a little baby boy. May he enter the bris, the covenant of Avraham Avinu in the right time, with good health and happiness. So this week in Parshas Bereishis, just so much happens. I mean, the world was created, that's a big thing. And actually, most of world history, thousands of years, is actually recounted in this week's Parsha. More actual historical time is discussed in this week's Parsha than in all the other Parshas of the Torah combined. So we can't exactly cover all of it in a voice note, or it would be way too long to send via WhatsApp. But there's one thing in this week's Parsha that, for me at least, always sticks out as being an idea, a lesson that we could learn that's so fundamental in our relationship with Hashem and understanding the dynamics of a Torah relationship with Hashem and with other people, which obviously reflects our relationship with Hashem. And it's an idea worthwhile to begin reading the Torah again with, as we know that this week, Shabbos Bereishis, the holy books teach us that the way we are Shabbos Bereishis, the way we set our mind and the intention we set this Shabbos, has an effect on the entire year. And I believe that this idea could be a true intention of how we could proceed the rest of the year. So it's actually my teaching from the holy Ishbitzer Rebbe, the Meshiloach. Ishbitzer asks a very important and interesting and insightful question about the punishments meted out after the story of original sin, after the story of the sin in the Garden of Eden. Which, of course, although in Jewish theology it doesn't play as big a role as Lahavdil in other religions, but obviously has a tremendous effect on the whole world and all of reality. So when Hashem starts handing out the punishments to all the usual suspects, so the woman, Eve, Chava, women are punished with childbirth, the pain of childbirth, which is, I've heard, not a walk in the park. And then she's punished to be subjugated by the male, that historically the female has always been undervalued and discriminated against. And even to this day, I mean, after all the advancements that all the waves of feminism made, everyone knows that still in the workplace, women still don't have equal rights and equal pay like men for the most part. So these are pretty bad. These are pretty bad punishments. Then came the punishment for Adam. And he was punished that he would have to work the sweat of his brow. He would eat bread. He'd have to wake up every morning, get dressed in a suit and a tie, get on the subway every morning or a train or a bus to get to work, sit in a cubicle all day with annoying people all around, have to worry about filing taxes and things like that. And really globally, the constant worry about money, economic pressure, which is really bad, really bad punishment. But then if we look at the punishment given to the snake, the serpent, then let's remember that really, really at the end of the day, the snake was the one that instigated everything. What's the punishment to the snake? Ofar toichal kol yemei chayecha. You will eat dust, you will eat dirt all the days of your life. Now, I don't know whether science agrees with this, doesn't matter, but the Torah says it, so it's true, that the snake, what the snake always eats is dirt, is dust. That's going to be the snake's main food. So the Ishbitzer Rebbe asks that what that essentially means is that the snake is being punished with perpetual, constant room service. It essentially means that the snake will always have what to eat if it's always eating dirt. There's never going to run out of that. So what are you going to say, that the snake's being punished that it can't enjoy a good slice of pizza or a good steak? I mean, that's a punishment. I'm definitely agreeing. But that the snake is being punished that it will always have the food that it needs? It'll get used to it after a while. People get used to eating healthy food and vegan stuff and things. People get used to eating anything. So the snake is being punished that it's going to be eating dirt for its whole life, that it'll always have the food it needs, it'll have room service. But the Ishbitzer Rebbe says we see something very similar when it comes to the geography of the land of Israel and the land of Egypt. Egypt, which is always considered in the holy books as the ultimate den of iniquity, the, so to speak, the land, the country that symbolizes Erva, that symbolizes sin. Egypt always has the Nile River, never lacks for water, never lacks for food, and historically was always the richest of all countries. Israel, on the other hand, the holy land, has to rely on rain. And there's always a struggle for there to be able to be enough food and enough rain. Historically, the land of Israel has known many famines, many droughts, and Dafka Egypt is the country that has perpetual room service through the Nile. So the Ishbitzer Rebbe says that really, that's the biggest punishment that there could be. Because what God is essentially saying is that the snake, you Egypt, you'll always have what you need. You'll have financial security and stability. You won't feel that you need me in your life. It's like, imagine a parable of a woman that says to her husband, you know, John, we haven't gone out to eat in a very long time. I really would like to go out to eat. So John says, here's $100, go out with one of your girlfriends to eat for dinner. A few days later, she says, you know, John, winter's coming. I need to get new clothing. Could you come shopping with me? So he gives her the credit card and says, here, go shop by yourself. Have a good time. Buy whatever you need. And then a few days later, she's like, you know, John, I really would like to see this in this movie. And John's like, you know what? I can't make it, but go ahead with one of your friends. Why is this guy John an idiot? What is he missing? What he's not realizing is that she doesn't need the movie or the dinner or the clothes. She wants him. She wants to be with him. She wants his attention. She wants a relationship with him, not his credit card. So says the Ishbitzer, what Hashem is saying to the snake, here's a blank check, here's a credit card. You will never need to ask for things in your life. Here, Egypt, here's the Nile. The Nile River assures you you'll never have to lift up your heads to beg for rain. You're being punished with eternal financial security. But the Jewish people, we have to always ask for rain, because what Hashem is saying essentially is that the biggest punishment is those that feel that they have everything they need, they have such security, that they don't need God in their lives. And the land of Israel is in such a way that we always have to lift up our eyes to Hashem and beg for rain. And in our lives, what that means, we weren't told to eat dust that we're going to always have perpetual room service. We all do live with a long list of wants and needs. Some people financial, some people emotional, some people physical, some people spiritual, but we always need things. And the intention that we have to have this Shabbos Bereishis is to realize that the fact that we do have so many things in life that we constantly need is Hashem's way of telling us, I do want to be involved in your life. I don't want to just give you a blank check. I want to be the one that you go shopping with. I want to be the one that you think of every time you need something in your life, new clothing or new healthy children or anything it is. Our intention of this week's Shabbos Bereishis is to be that as we go through the year, to always remember to be lifting up our eyes to Hashem, realizing that every single time something is lacking, it's an opportunity that Hashem is giving us for us to further realize how much He wants to be a part of our lives in a constant basis. May we have joy in this need. Revel in the insecurity of our lives that brings about the necessity of always bringing God into our lives on a constant basis. And of course, the greatest necessity and lack we have, that of Mashiach, should cause us always, every day to beg Hashem to reveal Himself with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Good Shabbos.